2 Chronicles chapter 7 begins with the
temple being built, and as it moves on into the chapter, the glory of the Lord fills the temple there when they've gathered, brought the Ark of the Covenant in, and Solomon began to speak after the glory of the Lord filled the house of God there, and Solomon prayed, called upon God for God's mercies and God's blessings upon Israel, and after he got through praying there, you'll see that fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices in the beginning of chapter number 7. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord filled the house. And you'll see that the nation is celebrating, offering sacrifices. And now, as Solomon has prayed his great prayer, asking for God's blessings, for God's guidance, for God's wisdom to lead this nation, God has something to say here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we'll start reading in verse number 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes, my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes, my commandments which I have set before ye, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessed word of God tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, for speaking to me, Lord. I thank you, God, for teaching me, Lord. Thank you, God, for the good Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray tonight, God, you'd fill me, God, with your fullness, Lord. God, help me to say everything you want said, God, and nothing you don't want said. God, we pray, God, you'd get honor and glory to your name, Lord. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I don't know, some of you may have listened to it. Some of you may not, but we had the president to give a State of the Union speech. On TV, he spoke for a little over an hour, I think it was. And you know, I listened to him. I don't know why. Just out of curiosity, I guess. But then, you know, after he got through speaking and telling what great things that he'd done and great things that he was going to do, we always have a rebuttal of the other party. And, you know, I don't know why people even really believe all the junk they tell you, because none of it ever comes to pass the way they lay it out and all the things that they're going to do. But, you know, we're just like an old fish going after a worm. I reckon we get hooked on that junk, and, you know, they never accomplish what they say they're going to do. So tonight, you know, the Democrats had their chance to speak, and they gave the State of the Union. The Republicans gave their rebuttal, their State of the Union speech. But tonight, I want to give my State of the Union speech and take God's Word and dissect, you know, the Word of God and see how America lines up with the Word of God. And, you know, wouldn't it be refreshing if we had a president that just get up before the people in this country and tell the truth one time? Amen? Wouldn't it be refreshing if the president got up at his podium in there and said, "Folks, I just want to tell you tonight, America is in trouble." Hey, wouldn't that be refreshing to us, friend? I'd rather have the truth told me, hadn't you? Amen. We know the truth, but we get caught into the lies that they tell us time and time again, friend. I want to tell you the truth tonight, friend. America is in trouble tonight. Amen. And I want to preach tonight on those thoughts right there and look into the Word of God tonight and see if we can get some help for our lives, see if we can get some help for our homes tonight, and see if we can get some help for our church tonight. I say tonight, friend, I wish we had a president that was blood-bought, birthed into the family of God, that had backbone enough to stand up and say he was, friend, and do something positive for this country, friend. Get a burden, friend, for our country and getting it back into the old paths of the way the founders of this country, friend, fashioned it and prayed to God and asked God's blessings on it. Hey, that's the reason we hadn't got God's blessing tonight on our country, friend. We've got leadership tonight that's trying to push God out. They think they can handle it themselves, and look what a mess we're in. Oh, I say tonight, friend, America has got a problem tonight. Can I tell you, friend, it's not an economic problem? It's not an economic problem, but we are, let me remind you, approaching $20 trillion in debt. And there's no way that it can ever be paid back. And all this debt, friend, is going to be passed on to all these little kids that we sent downstairs a while ago. Taxes are going to be raised higher and higher on them when they go to working, friend, to try to pay this money back and keep this country afloat for a while. Shame on America. America's got a problem. It's not economic. It's not unemployment. Hey, and we do have an unemployment problem. I don't disagree with that. I tell you what the biggest problem America's got today, there's too many people that wants a paycheck, but they don't want to work for it. Amen. Amen. They want somebody else to work, and they want the government to go steal it from them and give it to them. That's a problem in America today. Amen. Hey, it's not an unemployment. It's not global warming. Tell them folks up in Massachusetts today we got global warming when they can't even get out of their house for the snow being piled up on it. Listen, it's not global warming. It's not open borders. It's not guns. I got a few guns myself, but they ain't never killed nobody. They ain't never even shot at me. But they claim that all these gun lobbyists, friend, they claim that the guns are killing people. It ain't guns that's killing people. It's people that's killing people. Crazy people. Wicked people. Hey, it's a wicked day and hour in which we live today. If they didn't have a gun, they'd cut you with a knife. They're going to get something, friend, to carry out their wicked deeds, friends. Can I tell you, it's not the wars and rumors of wars that we see all about the world today. It's not ISIS, friend. That's not America's biggest problem tonight. And yet they're coming into this country. No doubt they've got people here in this country today. I heard somebody say the other day that the Muslims have got training camps throughout this country right here training their terrorists. And you know, we can't do nothing about it because they've got their rights. I say America's in trouble today. Oh, listen to me. It's not ISIS. It's not health care. It's not Medicare. It's not welfare. It's not Social Security tonight. It's not even our government. Even though we've got wicked, wicked men leading and running this country, We've got wicked judges sitting in high places, friend, that'll overrule the will of the people in this country today. We got judges, friend, that tell our young people it's okay to kill your baby, but you better not get caught going out there shooting your dog. You'll go to jail for that. Amen. It's crazy, isn't it? America, friend, has got a problem today. But let me tell you, it's not all these things that I just named, friend. It's one thing tonight. It's a spiritual problem. A spiritual problem. America, friend, has turned its back on God. And I say God has just about turned its back on America. Hey, listen, friend. You can't shake your fist in the face of God and tell Him you don't want Him. Take the commandments off the courthouse walls. Take the Bible and teaching out of the school buildings, friend. And hey, one little old atheist, friend, can take away the rights of a million people. It's pitiful the hour and time that we live in, friend. We've got a spiritual problem from the White House to the church house to our house. Let me tell you where things are going to start to change. We may not can do nothing about the White House and what they're doing up there, but we can do something about our house. Amen. We need to check up tonight, friend, and see where we stand spiritually in the eyes of God. Hey, let me tell you something. If we'll get things right down at our house, things will pick up at the church house. Amen. Listen to me. In this spiritual problem, let me say first of all, we've forsaken God's standards. Amen. Let me tell you, this book right here, if you want to know what God's standards are, and this book right here would be full of them. We've forsaken this Bible right here. Hey, there's all kind of isms and schisms going on and all kind of interpretations and rewritings of the Word of God. That's why we're so dogmatic about this King James Bible right here, friend. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And we ought to stand on it, friend. We ought to teach our children it. This is the Word, the living Word of God right here, friend. But let me tell you something, friend. We've forsaken God's standards. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, hey, it tells us that we are to be holy. Holy. We've forgotten about holiness tonight, hadn't we? We don't like holy living, except on Sunday morning, maybe. Amen. We can get real holy when it comes church time on Sunday morning, but what about Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, friend? How about those times, friend? Where did holiness leave the home at? God said, be ye therefore holy, for I am holy. Be ye therefore holy, for I am holy. Listen, God expects you and I, friend, to line up to this Bible right here, to do our best to live a clean and a holy and a separated life, friend. And when we fail, when we fall, and we're all going to do that, when we sin and come short of the glory of God, He's given us, friend, He's given us a propitiation, friend. He's given us a mercy seat, friend. We can call upon Christ. He said He'd be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Tell you, we need to get back to holy living. We live in a wicked society. We live in a wicked day. There's temptations on every hand, friend. You go turn on your one-eyed devil, friend, and it don't take long till you're going to see wickedness. You're going to see things that's going to embarrass you in front of your kids come on your TV set. I ain't talking about on these crazy channels. I'm talking about channel 2, 5, 11. Listen, it's everywhere, friend. Forsaken God's standards, friend. Hey, holiness is one of His standards. What about faithfulness? What about faithfulness? Ain't you glad tonight that God's faithful? Ain't you glad, friend, that His ears are always open and attentive unto your prayer? Ain't you glad, friend, that when you call upon Him, when you fall on your face before Him, when you humble yourself before Him, you can count on God to be there? He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, the Bible says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Hey, listen, we've been saved by the grace of God. We're ambassadors of Christ. We're supposed to be serving the Lord and giving Him our life, giving Him our first in life, friend. And God says it is required of us that we be found faithful. We've forsaken God's standards. Those are just two things. Two little standards of holiness and faithfulness. Those are not impossible things for you and me to do. Amen? We can be faithful. And we can do better in our walk with God. Amen? I believe I can do better. Amen? If I'll just apply myself and try to get filled with the Holy Ghost of God, I believe I can live a little closer to God. I believe I could say no more to temptation if I'd do that. Amen? I tell you, America's spiritual problem, friend, is forsaking God's standards. And not only that, but following other gods. Everybody knows that this weekend's Super Bowl, don't you? Shake your head. Did you know that almost 60% of every household in America will be tuned in to the Super Bowl? Over 100 million people just in America will be looking at the Super Bowl, not to mention all the other countries in the world that have access to watching it. Man has become a people, friend, that's found some other gods to take the place of God Almighty. In the book of Jeremiah 17:5, the Bible says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." We become worshipers, friend, of a football game, of a basketball game, of a baseball game, or anything else, friend, that you think more of than you do God. And it could be a number of things. But one thing, friend, is worshiping man. Man's got us in a mess. Hey, I wonder. Now, some of you are going to watch that Super Bowl. I want you to sit there mealy-mouthed watching that game as you are in church. Amen. You're going to get excited and get all shook up and jumping up and down, shouting and hollering. You got no praise for God when you come to church. The God that gave His only Son to die in your stead, that you could have a chance at life. You can't even get a holy grunt out of you in the house of God. We got some things backwards, folks. We messed up. America's got a problem. Oh, I wonder if that problem is settled in down at our house. Listen, we followed other gods of man, of money, and materialism. We live in a society today, friend, when we can't get enough. Amen. The best ain't good enough for us anymore. I tell you what, if you had $1 million, you know what you'd do? You'd start looking at the man that had 2 million. And you'd say, "I want to be like that man over there." We're never satisfied anymore. Bible says if we had food and raiment, to be content, don't it? To be thankful for what we got. A lot of times I believe because we ain't got more is because we ain't thank God for what He's already given us. Amen. Listen to me. We followed other gods. Not only this spiritual problem, I see one more great dangerous problem that America is facing today. We've forsaken God's people. I'm talking about Israel. I've never in my lifetime, and it's been said that it hasn't happened since Israel became a nation again, that America has turned its back on God's chosen people like it is in the day of this administration. And I'll just be honest with you. I'll tell you why Obama has turned his back on Israel, and you'll see it when he goes out of office. He's a full-fledged Muslim, and he hates Israel, and he hates America. We'll see his color come out one day. Let me tell you something, friend. One danger that's going on in America today is, friend, God cannot bless the country, friend, that turns its back on His people. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. Oh, let me tell you something. The Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I challenge you tonight. I challenge you tonight. Every time you pray, pray for Israel. Pray for Israel, friend. I can't imagine those people over there. Look at your world map sometime and look at this little small country over there that's totally surrounded by enemies, friend. In America, since Israel became a nation again in 1948, America has been a staunch ally of Israel, friend. Hey, when they've been an ally of us, friend, but now today, friend, America has now turned its back on Israel. But let me tell you something. We, as born-again believers of God, we don't have to turn our back on them. We can pray. We can pray, friend, and God will hear from heaven, and God will help. Listen to me. The spiritual problem in America today, we've forsaken God's standards. We've followed other gods. We've forsaken God's people, friend. And listen to me. We're in danger of forcing God's hand. Let me tell you what the Bible says in Psalms 9 and 17. The Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all, A-L-L, all the nations that forsake God. All. Listen, I really believe that this people like you, Christian people, is the only reason that God is still letting a few blessings rain down in America. We're sort of holding this thing together, I believe. Not only is there a spiritual problem, but there's a sin problem. I want you to turn with me to the book of Amos right here. The book of Amos, chapter number 8. I see this problem right here in America as it was in the days of Amos. He prophesied, friend, in a time when there was prosperity in the land. A lot like we are today, I guess. Amos' message, friend, was a message of judgment to come. It was a message of doom that was coming. And you know, the message fell on deaf ears. The message seemed preposterous to the people. And it seemed it was just too painful for the people to bear it. And so they rejected Amos' words. But listen to what the Bible says in Amos chapter number 8. And I say that it was a sin problem in the days of Amos, friend, and I see it being a problem in the day that we live today. Verse 11 says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. I see a problem, friend, of a drought that's going on in America today, friend. I've seen churches, friend, that used to be on fire for God some 20, 25 years ago. You could go down the road, friend. There was churches everywhere you could go into, friend, and you could get a word from God, and you could feel the power of God and see a demonstration of the Holy Ghost, friend. But they've dried up, friend. Hey, they've gone liberal. They've just died and moved, friend. Let me tell you, friend, into deadness, friend. There's a drought. It's in our country today, friend. And who's it going to affect, friend? They, the fair virgins and the young men shall faint for thirst. Let me tell you something. If we let Liberty Baptist Church dry up tonight, friend, it's the ones downstairs and the ones out back that's going to suffer, friend, from the drought that we let, hey, if we let it dry up. Let me tell you something. Let me ask you this. Hey, that fountain that used to bubble up inside you, has it dried up? How about your tears? Have you had your fountain of tears dried up? Have you lost your burden for anything but about the things of God and the house of God anymore? Is there anything about God that would bring you to tears? Is there any burden in your life for the things of God, for the people of God, for the house of God? Hey, for the lost people in the world. Hey, where's your tears at? Has your thanksgiving dried up? Has your tenderness that you used to have turned to hardness? A drought will kill you. Amen. Our children are thirsting to death throughout this land and country. Mamas and daddies have forsaken God. Now they're raising a generation of kids that know not the Lord or anything about God. They're dying of thirst. Listen. It was a problem that sin. God sent a drought in Amos' day, friend. And listen, God was about to send discipline in that day. In chapter number 3, listen, Amos had this to say. He said, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities." God hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. If God would bring the hand of judgment down upon His chosen people, the apple of His eye, where does America stand today? God owes us nothing. He owes us nothing. God was about to send some things upon this country, friend. And God has sent things upon America very similar to what He did to Israel. Famine, drought, plagues, death, destruction, wars, enemies rising up against them. And it's amazing, friend, they just harden their heart against a real man of God. Didn't want to hear it. Instead of humbling and repenting before God, they grew calloused, hard-hearted. Things was just going too good down at their house until God finally brought judgment in. Amos cried and he said, "Prepare to meet thy God." We better be getting ready to meet God. My Bible tells me that it ain't going to be long. Listen, God sent a drought. God sent discipline, but God finally sent doom. Everything that Amos tried to get, all the prophets in the Old Testament did their best to get people to turn back to God. They rejected. Finally, they went into a 70-year captivity. Country destroyed. temple destroyed. They just wouldn't believe what God was trying to tell them. Let me tell you something. You sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. Sow to the wind, you're going to expect to reap the whirlwind. God help America. We're in trouble. God's or America's problem, but now America's prescription. Back in 2 Chronicles here, chapter 7. His prescription. I say, first of all, friend, he said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I say, first of all, friend, that we need to decide what our priorities are in life. What's your priority? God said we better be seeking His face. Amen? Listen, we got to decide today. Today. Who we're going to serve. We're going to serve God or we're going to serve mammon. We're going to serve God or we want to serve sin. I declare to you tonight, just like Joshua did in the days of old, choose you this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No matter what comes, no matter what people say, no matter who's running the White House, hey, listen to me. Get down at your house and put your foot down and say, we're going to serve God at my house. We got to decide what our priorities are. Time to make that decision. And it's time to deal with pride. We live in a prideful day. Amen. Pride goes before destruction. God hates pride. He makes that clear in His Word. But we all get lifted up in pride, don't we? We ain't got nothing to be proud about except our God and His blessings on us. Amen. I tell you, we've increased in goods like the Bible says over in the book of Revelation. There, we're increased with goods and, hey, we lifted up in pride and we think we have need of nothing. Let me tell you what a good job will do for you. It'll make you get proud-hearted. Let me tell you what money in the bank will do. It'll make you get real proud and lifted up in pride. But let me tell you what all the blessings, all those things like that will do. It'll make you a debtor to God. Because He's the one that give it to you. Let me tell you, if you've got a good job, if you've got money in the bank, if you've got a nice house, if you've got food on your table, a roof over your head, friend, you're a debtor to God. He's the one that give it all to you. And you owe it all to Him because without Him, you'd have nothing. Pride. The goods that He's blessed you with. What about the grace that God's blessed you with? Let me tell you what. When we think about where we come from, it ought to humble us. Let me tell you something. Brother Jared, God could have passed you by. Brother Tim, God could have passed you by. You and you and you and you and you. God could have passed you by, but He gave you grace. He came to you with salvation, offering it to you full and free. It didn't cost you nothing, friend. Let me tell you, you could be in the lowest pits of hell tonight where we all deserve to be, friend. But God, hey, He gave us grace, friend, and ought to humble us, friend. God said to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Don't let pride get in your life. Pride will kill a thankful heart. You get to thinking you've done something, thinking you've arrived, thinking you're better than somebody else, friend. That's pride. You're nothing without God's goodness. You're nothing without God's grace. Oh, He's paid it all. Let me tell you, remember where you come from. That'll help you kill some pride in your life.
Let me tell you this, America's prescription. We got to it's time to decide our priorities. It's time to deal with pride. Get it out. Hey, let me tell you. God can take away just as quick as He gives. He can take away your home. He can take away your health. He can take away your money. Hey, you ain't got any defense against the will of God if He decides to do something. Not only, hey, He said to humble yourself, seek His face, turn from your wicked ways, humble yourself. But not only that, friend, but He says that we ought to pray. I say it's time that we diligently pray. It's time, friend, that we take time out in our lives, friend, to get along with God, to get in agony with God, and to seek His face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and ask Him to help us, to help our home, to help our country, help our church. Wonder. I'd say, don't know how many of you got a TV in your house, probably most everybody. You'll kick back and spend 3 or 4 hours in front of a television and won't give God 5 minutes of prayer. We don't have a burden. We don't know who butters our biscuits anymore. We've lost something. I say America's got a great problem. Lastly, this. We need to diligently pray, humbly, brokenhearted, hungering from God and heeding God's warnings. You know, I found something easy. It's easy to confess my sins. It's easy for me to confess my sins. But it ain't so easy to forsake them. It's not as easy to forsake sin. Because I got this flesh right here. You do too. God's looking for some people that'll get serious in prayer. That'll get humble. Turn. He said, turn from your wicked ways. Hey, He wasn't talking about that person next to you. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. We got to do the turning. We. It's us. It's me. Lastly, this, and we'll be through in just a moment. Not only America's problem, America's prescription, He lays it out in 7 and 14, but America's promise. Can I tell you this tonight? God can bless America. But you'll notice in that verse, He says, if, you know who's got the key? You do. And I do. If my people. If you'll change. If I'll change. If I'll turn from my wicked ways. If I'll humble myself and seek His face. God can bless America again. He can bless America, or He can bury America. He said, if you turn away and forsake my statutes, my commandments, which I've set before you, shall go and serve other gods, worship them, then I'll pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I've given them. This house which I've sanctified for my name, I'll cast out of my sight. Make it to be a proverb, byword among all nations. They'll be saying, why has the Lord done this? Because they wouldn't heed His warning. We've got God's Word to tell us what God expects out of His church. It's time. Let me tell you something. It's time for us to quit playing church. Do you hear me? It's time to quit playing church and start being the church. Let me tell you in 7 and 15.
He said, "For mine eyes shall be open, mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. My eyes shall be open, and my ears shall be attent unto the prayers that's made in this place." He's looking and he's listening for some people, for some if people. If my people would just be obedient. If my people would just listen. Stand with me around the house.